The following is a 1250 WTMA special presentation.
Hey there, this is John Quincy with another trip into the nifty 1250 way back machine that we affectionately call the history of TMA. WTMA has been serving the entertainment and information needs of Charlestonians for decades with the exact same call letters, WTMA, that were assigned to us by the FCC when our first official transmission broke the ether on June 15th, 1939.
In America's most historic city, every day spent in Charleston is like a page from American history. There are hundreds of landmarks for all to see. Charleston, Charleston, a beautiful city by the sea. Charleston welcomes you today through WTMA.
This hour, we're continuing with a special edition of The Morning Buzz that originally aired on June 25th, 2004. Regular host Richard Todd was out of town, so I had the pleasure of sitting in air chair number one to talk to some of the voices from WTMA's past.
Good morning, Charleston. It's 9:07. I'm John Quincy for Richard Todd. Not the usual Morning Buzz music because we are not doing the usual thing here. It's WTMA's 65th birthday this month, and we are celebrating by remembering some of WTMA's past programming successes, like the time it was a top 40 radio station in the 60s and 70s. Yesterday we had the 60s guys on. Today it's the 70s and 80s. And in the studio with us is John Burwell, who's with WTMA.
WTMA.
You like saying that again, don't you?
I love it. It's just down memory lane, I'm telling you.
And Gary London, who's
the
at WTMA.
Mighty TMA.
Oh, man, it's nice to hear those voices again. And we were talking about a promised CJ and Buzz reunion. Well, we are half right. We've got CJ Jones on the line right now.
On the mighty TMA.
Listen to that.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
Guys.
How are you, CJ?
Hi, CJ.
Wonderful.
Hopefully Buzz will be joining us shortly.
What a great group of people.
Man. Well, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being invited. This is exciting. Has Buzz showed up yet?
No, he hasn't.
As normal.
CJ and Buzz show, he's always late.
Now, you were on W, before we talk about the CJ and Buzz thing, you were on WTMA back in the 60s as...
Johnny Prince.
Johnny Prince, and we have pictures on WTMAmemories.com to prove it.
That is a great picture of you, CJ, on the web there.
Well, yeah, it is, and thank you. I'll tell you, I was never so thin and never so young.
Just say, it was only 30 years ago.
I know. I have people who work with me now. I'll show it to them, and they'll go, you're kidding.
Yeah, you're kidding.
So tell us about your time in the 60s real quickly, about when you were WTMA at the Dock Street Theater.
It was great fun because Bob Mitchell, a guy that I think is the legendary Bob Mitchell, was the program director of the mighty TMA, and Chuck Smith owned it.
Mm-hmm.
We were downtown in the theater building, and I remember we always had to keep the monitor, the speakers, low in the studio when there was something going on in the theater.
I can bet.
Because we overpowered the actors on the stage when we turned it up. And of course, there's that wonderful historical cemetery across the street, and I used to see tombstones over there just jiggling around as we turned up the music.
You're going to wake the dead! Turn that
right,
down.
And we did, too. It was a lot of fun.
So, CJ and Buzz, of course, WTMA, part of the early 80s, but a lot of people remember WCSC.
Yeah, 1390 WCSC.
Home for CJ and Buzz.
Yeah, a station, unfortunately, that in that name and configuration no longer exists.
Right.
But
now, how did
we went
and
over
Buzz
there
thing come together?
Huh?
How did you guys come together? How did you meet Buzz and put that morning show together?
Oh, this is a crazy story.
I hope
I've always been in management, too, and I went over as executive VP at WCSC, and actually, we hired a really talented guy from Cincinnati, from WLW, to come down and do mornings. And he and his wife were in Charleston, as I recall, about 4 days. They had a rear-end collision on the Cooper River Bridge, and his wife said, "You're nuts, I'm going back to Cincinnati."
Oh man.
So there went the morning show. So I had been on the air before, so I went on the air and did mornings. And we were very fortunate. That radio station went from about number 11 in the market to number one in one book back then, and it was a phenomenal success. And I figured if I was going to do mornings and run it, I needed to do something. And Buzz Bowman, the day I arrived at CSC, Buzz resigned, claiming it had nothing to do with my coming. Probably not true. He resigned, and he migrated south to Key West. And while he was in Key West camping out in a park, biker Gabe rolled him and took all his money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, true story. And he called me back, and he said, "You still got a job for me?" And I said, "Man, do I have a job for you. I need a partner on the morning." So we brought him back, and we did CJ and Buzz, and it became a great success. We had good ratings, had tremendous audience, loved the listeners. We're one of those oddities that back when the newspaper did the best of and worst of, which I'm sure they still do, I remember one year CJ and Buzz was the best radio show in Charleston, and we also won the worst radio show in Charleston.
Yeah, I remember that. Wow. Yeah.
Either loved us or hated us. Fortunately, more loved us than hated us. Anyway, Buzz was on there with me for a long time. We won an award as one of the top five radio shows in America one year. It was a very exciting time. Then Randy O'Donnell and his partners bought the mighty TMA.
Oh, please.
Oh, Skunks.
Skunks. Randy O'Donnell, one of the most handsome men to ever live in Charleston.
He's like a walking mannequin, isn't he?
I'm telling you, the women would swoon over him. They would come into my office and say, "It's nice to meet you. Where's Randy?
Where's Randy?"
Yeah, right, yeah.
And he brought you over here to WTMA.
Yeah, sure did, and loved it. We had a good time. We revised the mighty TMA. They had dropped that, so we brought it back. We did a lot of things on CJ and Buzz. Some of the things you'll remember, the Heine Winery in beautiful downtown Monk's Corner behind the Branch Library, where Big Thor and Red Heine were the winekeepers.
Tiny Heine Winery, I remember it well.
The Heine Winery. Yeah. On your website, you've got a couple of shows of CJ and Buzz. And one of them has us a day after we did the annual CJ and Buzz Charity Golf Spectacular. And we're talking about the free Heine was provided on the golf course by Big Red and Thor. Funny stuff.
Funny stuff. It really was.
So what are you doing now, CJ?
I'm a vice president and run a market for Cumulus Broadcasting, a big company, second largest radio company in the country. And I'm a troubleshooter. I go into markets where they've had problems. I'm in my third assignment in Shreveport, Louisiana, which I really love. It's a great city. And that's what I do.
All right. You were involved in some other stations in town, weren't you?
Well, yeah. My wife, Carolyn, and I, who some will remember from the mighty TMA days as the mighty TMA chicken, she used to get in the van in the chicken outfit with the with the helmet on.
And you're all still married, huh?
Yeah, right. And yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And she would go out spotting cars, you know, following people. And actually, it got to the point where when she pulled out of the street there, people would tuck in behind her and stay with her, hoping to win the prizes. But we did that. And then she and I went into business for ourselves, and we ended up owning about 15 radio stations in six markets around the country and eventually sold them. I went to Europe, actually, you'll love this, to Reykjavik, Iceland, as the chief executive officer, and in Europe it's called managing director, of the largest radio company there, and loved doing that. We had a wonderful time in Iceland, made a lot of friends, saw a lot of beautiful scenery, spent a lot of time in Europe, and that was a great assignment. Then I joined Cumulus.
Wow.
Amazing.
So you're doing
what have you been up
yourself?
To? Huh?
Man, we were smart. We stayed in Charleston, man. Once you come here, you just don't want to lose.
You get the sand in your shoes, you don't want to leave.
I'll tell you, that was a very, very tough decision to leave Charleston. We loved it. We had a beautiful home. We were having a wonderful time when we were on the mighty TMA. But a larger company offered me a chief operating officer's position, and it was just too good to turn down. It turned out that caused the ability to own stations and go into business for ourselves, because I ended up running WXTU FM in Philadelphia, which was their largest market and largest property. And it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was successful, and bankers all of a sudden started saying, "You got to do this for yourself." And like an idiot, I said, "Okay." And then as I'm signing all these notes and owing all these millions, my investment banker turned to my wife and said, Marilyn, don't worry about it. It's just zeros.
Just zeros.
He didn't say you have to pay those zeros back, though.
Oh, yeah. All right, CJ. Well, listen, I guess Buzz is a no-show. He's enjoying, I think he's vacationing down
he's
in Hilton Head.
He's actually at Myrtle. He's, if I may, Buzz remarried, has married a wonderful, beautiful girl from Florence, South Carolina. They have a new redheaded son. Now, that's a story all unto itself because there's no redheads in either side of that family.
Okay.
But we won't
back
go there.
Your redheaded stepchild.
Redheaded stepchild, is that what it is?
Yeah, and Buzz is program director actually for a Cumulus station in Florence and has just done a great job. Been there 5 or 6 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I was in Philadelphia, Buzz joined us. We didn't do the show on the air there, but Buzz did mornings in Philadelphia while I ran that company and went on to produce for a network called United Stations their regular specials on country music. So he got a lot of national exposure. Buzz, a great guy.
He is. He is. I work with him at another radio station in town, and I had the pleasure of working with you guys when I was at WSSX, and
yes,
you guys
did.
Were at TMA. And really enjoyed that experience as well. Well, CJ, thank you so much for calling and talking about your time as CJ and Buzz. Great morning show that was here at WTMA. Exactly what years were those? I know it's you were there in 83.
Yeah, 82, 83 in that era. All we won't talk about when in the early 60s I was there before. I'm not old enough to do that.
Now, what do you think, CJ? Now, you grew up here in Charleston. Why do you think WTMA was such a big radio station in the 60s and 70s?
It was the most consistent radio station in the market. Early on, Chuck Smith decided to go top 40 when it was just brand new. They did it year after year after year. He didn't pay any money. I mean, you know, it was one of those, you love to live in Charleston, and it was a lot of fun to be on the radio.
Some of us got paid, I'll be quite frank with you.
Wait a minute, you mean you actually got a check?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Is arbitration still possible?
I don't know.
Actually, Chuck Smith is no longer with us.
No, I know. Chuck passed away a number of years ago. He was a great guy.
It was Ted Turner that wouldn't pay any money.
That could be.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that Ted Turner owned WTMA for, what, a year or two?
Yeah,
not very long, but he did, and it was part of his growing up and inheriting from his father and building the television empire in Atlanta.
He actually owned the construction permit for Channel 4.
Yes.
Right here in Charleston.
Yeah,
he sold that for $10,000.
I know, and he owned the outdoor advertising plant there, too.
Yes,
all those
did.
Billboards.
Turner Billboards, that's exactly right.
Ted, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he sold
WTMA. I guess
he figured
Atlanta
was
better than Charleston.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's impossible. It is not.
It was bigger anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, if things would have gone differently, we could have had CNN in Charleston. Wouldn't
there
that be cool?
This has really been great. I love talking with Madeline again. She answered the phone, and
yes.
I said, hello, and she said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I understand Bruce Roberts is around this morning, John Burwell.
Yes, the old CSC crew here, I'm telling you.
Everybody. It's a pleasure and an honor for me to be involved, and I thank you very much.
All right, CJ, thank you so much for making this day even more special.
You're welcome.
And to you and your family, and Buzz, if you see him. Tell him
I'll send a memo to him and congratulate him for being late again.
All right, thanks a lot. CJ Jones of CJ and Buzz here on the Mighty TMA.
And a gentleman.
Quite, and a gentleman.
Yeah. And a gentleman. John Quincy here, along with John Burwell and Gary London. And a few more other surprises coming up when we continue here on News Talk 1250 WTMA. We'll continue with more of this special Morning Buzz Encore from the summer of 2004 next. I'm John Quincy.
The history of TMA.
Whether you're new to Charleston or lived here all your life growing up to the sounds of 1250 WTMA, we hope that you're enjoying today's look at the legacy of WTMA Radio. In 2004, we commemorated our 65th year of broadcasting with a slightly different version of the Morning Buzz.
1250 WTMA.
Music Radio TMA. Love will find a way. Yeah. Masters and Johnson found more than one. But of course, it's a whole other subject. 657.
Say it.
Come on, let me hear y'all say it. Say it.
school.
Say it, Rick.
No, I don't want to say it.
Okay, well, that does it for John.
I'll tell you what I will say, though.
Thank you for joining me. I appreciate your company today. Enjoy, Rick, who's next on TMA.
3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's Friday.
You know that?
It's nice. It's Friday.
On WTMA, Charleston, South Carolina, with Rick Tracy.
1250, the best music, WTMA.
Just some of the 70s memories from the mighty TMA back in the 1970s. We've got one of those guys that you heard on that little snippet of audio, John Burwell, the Bustin' Loose guy.
That's going to do it for me today. Rick Tracy's next, but that was after Gary London.
Gary London is also with us in the studio, did afternoons for many, many years. We also heard a guy by the name of Bob McLean there. Crazy Bob
at the McLean.
Oh, yeah. I remember when he rolled into town.
He really revitalized that station. I'm telling you, he did a wonderful job for WTMA.
We spent a marathon weekend going through the oldies library. Toss that one. You know.
And some of the other folks that worked at WTMA that you might remember, how about, I think the guy right before him, Lee Richards. As a matter of fact, if you go to WTMAmemories.com, this is from the insert of the WTMA Solid Gold record, which you might have in your collection if you still have records, or we're in Charleston about 1974 or so. It has a lineup of the WTMA jocks there from 6 till 9. Lee Richards, who was the program director and morning guy, was there.
He hired me.
Followed by Gary London between 9 and 12. Right. Keith Nichols, who's now at Channel 5, was on between noon and 3. Booby Nash from 3 till 7. Nighttime DJ was the very smooth Steve Russell. And from 12 till 6, John Burwell.
Yes, I left the morning show at WNOK in Columbia and did the all-night show at WTMA because it was a better station. And, it was the number one station in the South. So, you know, I knew I had some place to go.
So all nights in Charleston is better than mornings in Columbia.
Let me tell you, the all-night show at TMA was awesome.
Thank you for that. But
it really was.
But this is the honest truth. CJ was talking about it wasn't paying. It paid in those days. We made very good money. I was offered, which in today's money would be a $10,000 raise to do the all-night show from what I was making in Columbia.
Hey.
I'm telling you, they paid back then.
It's easier to stay up late than get up early.
Oh, it was.
Give you an example. I was doing middays at TMA and WQXI. Excuse me.
Yo.
Feedback.
Got those headphones up loud enough there, Gary?
Lord. Actually, they're not loud enough. You get old, you get deaf. But WQXI in Atlanta, Quixie and Dixie, wanted me to come do middays for them. And I was making more money at TMA.
Exactly.
I said, you guys are idiots. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. You can't be making that much. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
556-1250 is our phone number if you'd like to talk to our guest this morning or just kind of reminisce about WTMA in the 70s or 80s. We've got Charles on the line. Good morning, Charles. You've got a question about TMA?
Yeah, I owned the old skate land on King Street from 1958 to 1978, and I remember when TMA was probably at the bottom of the charts, and they brought George Wilson in and Doug Randall and Bobby D.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if you remember whatever happened to those boys?
George Wilson, I know is
Doug
still
Randall
alive.
Died. I knew him.
Doug Randall died.
But George was the program director. He was a pretty smart person.
As a matter of fact, a little eccentric. I've been trying to get in touch with him, but he's still around there. He's got a reputation for being a very, very creative guy. And George Wilson was the guy that made WTMA, turned it from a kind of a good music station that played very mellow, middle-of-the-road music to a top 40 station right around 1960 or so. Was that the year that you remember?
Yeah, well, George, one day he locked himself up there by the old Dock Street and played the same record for 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Bobby D had a baby chicken up there, and he was giving away a Valentine contest to see which disc jockey got the most Valentines, and he had a baby crying in the background, claiming somebody left that baby there, and whoever gave him the most Valentines, they had the police down there on Sunday and everything else.
It was a theater of the mind, you see.
We had to paint a picture.
That's right.
The Dock Street Theater of the Mind.
Yeah,
we actually broadcast from the skating rink on Friday and Saturday nights with Bobby D. We used to have a lot of fun down there.
Yeah, we used to broadcast from the Folly Pier.
That's right.
And actually, one time we buried John Burwell.
That's right. I got 4 feet at under. Not 6 feet under, 4 feet under.
At the drive-in theater.
That's right.
It was a big promotion, and we actually buried him in a coffin.
And I broadcasted live from 4 feet underground for 3 solid hours.
Yeah. Oh, what was that like?
It was eerie. I am telling
we
you.
We had a little peep tube where we could look at him down there, and
right.
He had an air hose.
It was a special thing that they had wired up, and I had a microphone, a real coffin modified so that they could look down in it 4 feet underground. And the weird thing was when they were putting dirt over, you know, like that, and then all of a sudden it's eerie in there. It really is. And it, I got that because they had wanted Bobby Nash to do it. And Booby said, "Are you out of your mind?"
They didn't make enough Valium back in those days for Booby to do it.
And Booby said, "I'll tell you who'll do it. Burwell will do anything. Get him to do it." And and there comes Rudy Gresham saying, "John, I got an idea for you. You'll love this, John." Right. Why? But we did it.
Did you get anything extra for that?
Actually, I believe we did. Yeah, I believe I did get free passes to the Port Drive-In. I believe is what it was.
Well, good for you. At least you got something good out of it.
And then I tried to break John Trenton's record for staying up the longest when we broadcast from St. Andrew's Center that time.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes, golly, yes. And he was broadcasting. What was that about? I remember.
It was
at
a clothing store right there in the window in the corner of the shopping center there.
And it was how long you could stay up and broadcast at the like that.
Yeah, and
we go to
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And by, I don't know how long it was, maybe 70 hours or something like that. It's
the ironic thing is, I was living in Waldorf and drove home from Charleston.
And you're still alive today,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, Gary London and John Burwell in the studio here talking about the memories of the mighty TMA. We'll have more coming up, including a couple of surprise guests in our next half hour as we relive those memories of WTMA. Now a successful radio station in the news talk format, but in the 60s, 70s, and part
and still
of the
80s. Best station in town.
Thank you, Gary. We appreciate that. You'll get your $5 later.
Another full hour of music with Lee Richards.
WTMA Charleston.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock with fair skies and 71 degrees, and we have had a winner giving away those 10 top albums from TMA.
What's wrong with that?
1250 WTMA, where I'm going to take caller number 3 right now at 556-5851 to win an Inframan t-shirt and a pair of tickets to the movie Inframan, which starts today at the Fine Haven and South Windermere Cinema One.
Too late.
From WTMA to Starbucks and Moonlight Hall. I feel so right. This is Gary London at 612. 1250 WTMA. Gotta keep on trucking. Eddie Kendricks at 749 with Dan Valley. Reminding you, if you'd like to have a Mighty TMA record off of your school or club, call us during business hours at 556-5660 for details.
Don't miss part 2 of The Sound of Motown this Sunday starting at 12 noon.
This Out of Motown is brought to you in part by the Red Carpet Outlet in Walterboro, Orangeburg, and Charleston, Tom Parcell Chevrolet, and your friends at TMA.
WTMA. When you hear the touch-tone telephone this morning, all you need to know to be a winner is WTMA, and your chance coming in just minutes from now. It's 8:21, 21 minutes after 8 o'clock. The news is next.
WTMA.
More from and about WTMA's past is coming up next on The History of TMA.
The History of TMA.
Let's return to the June 25th, 2004 edition of The Morning Buzz as The History of TMA rolls on.
This is Ed Marlowe, and I won $1,000 in WTMA's Money Match Game.
This is Janine Davis of Hunley Park, and I just won $500 in the WTMA's Money Match Game.
The big winners are listening to the Big 1250 WTMA in Charleston. Stay tuned to win in the Money Match Game. 7:42 this morning. John Trenton on your radio, coming at you with Three Dog Night. We're gone out there in the country.
Another full hour of music with Gary London.
WTMA. Charleston.
Good afternoon, Charleston. It's 6 o'clock with Rare Earth.
WTMA.
Good morning. It's 9:37 at News Talk 1250 WTMA. Hour for the next few minutes. It's the mighty TMA back in the 70s and 80s again. Yeah. I'm John Quincy in for Richard Todd as we remember some of the good times and good sounds that were heard right here on 1250 during the 70s and 80s.
Now, outro the sound. Outro the song. Yeah. Outro the song.
Come on. Okay. This song is right here?
Yeah.
Pick up the pieces. AWB.
That's
on
right.
The Mighty TMA.
See, I was never on the Mighty TMA during
white
music
group.
Radio days. So
a funky donkey white group.
Yeah, hey, it was there.
The average white band.
They were hot. And the voice of John Trenton. Yeah, good guy.
You had him on there, John Trenton.
Oh, almost honest John Trenton.
That's right.
What he was. Almost honest John Trenton.
He was a big part of WTMA for many, many years.
Oh, yeah. Loved the man to death.
He was doing the morning show at WTMA, was the program director, and eventually became the general manager.
General manager. Yeah. When he was the man when I was there the whole time.
And when Rudy Gresham left TMA, he went into buying. Rudy Gresham was one of. If you're in business out there, I know you remember Rudy. This is Rudy from the radio station.
Yeah, the best. He was the best salesman we ever had. I'm telling you, hard and gold.
Rudy went out buying up some stations, and you know, I ran the station in Waldoboro for many years.
WALD?
Yeah, really? WALD, AM and FM.
All right.
And Rudy bought that station.
Yes, he did.
And you know what we did? Mm. We brought John Trenton in to be general manager.
Wow.
And we also had Booby Nash in to do mornings.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I wish I could have heard that.
Yeah.
What year was this?
Sometimes in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've got John Burwell, former WTMA DJ and production director that is here with us today from the 1970s, and Gary London, who was at WTMA during the 70s, plus many other radio stations in Charleston since then. And we've got a guy on the phone right now who was at WTMA. Let's reach over here and grab this line. WTMA, he was the last program director before WTMA gave up the ghost and went country in the mid-80s before it became a news talk radio station. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the WTMA Golden Microphone, Steve King. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Hey, man, you were at WTMA during its latter time. You were keeping the station alive, still sounding good. As a matter of fact, we heard a little bit of you on the air a little while ago. I think the last format that WTMA was involved in before it went up on the satellite with a country music format was called Classic Rock, Roll, and Soul. Was that it?
That's right. And, you know, we opted to go to that when I got there. It was right around the time when a lot of the FMs started playing music. Our sister station, 95SX, was already a top 40 station at that time and doing quite well. And some of the other stations decided they were going to pop on, and there were a bunch of new radio stations that came on. Matter of fact, I think it was something like another 7 or 8 radio stations popped up in the Lowcountry in a matter of about a year. So we had to try and compete with that. And, you know, our format ended up being on FM and FM stereo, and they decided, you know, they were interested in doing that or listening to that. So we tried to carve out a little niche on the radio station. So we kind of did what would be an oldies, you know, type format. And what we did was put together something that we called Classic Rock, Roll, and Soul, where we played a lot of the classic oldies that were from the 50s and 60s that had a little bit of a soul flavor to them, and then played some of the 70s soul with it, and it seemed to work for a while. It was something that was, you know, we didn't know how long it was going to last, but we were willing to ride it out, and it did work for a little while.
Steve, when exactly were you at WTMA?
I got there in 1985. And we went to the other format. I believe it was in 87, you know, right around in there. And then I understand after I left, the station ended up going country.
Yes, it went country. Yeah, a short period of time.
Because I went to our sister station in Flint, Michigan, and did adult contemporary radio up there.
So when you came to WTMA, it had abandoned its top 40 format that Gary London and John Burwell and Booby Nash had been involved in, and had kind of morphed into what an adult contemporary station, which for our listeners means that you're playing kind of the softer music. It's still contemporary, but you're not playing the rock and roll and the real heavy R&B stuff.
Celine Dion's instead of Bachman Turner.
Yeah, it would be like like Sunny 96.9 was essentially doing adult contemporary today. One of our sister radio stations. And so who were some of the guys that you work with? You were the program director, I know, and you did the afternoon drive show.
Yeah, did the afternoon drive show. Some of the guys that we had there at the time was we had a morning guy by the name of Jay Donovan. And Jay worked for us for a couple of years. Warren Ashmore was our news director at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Bill Poston did my afternoon news for me. And a fellow by the name of Bob Graham, who did midday on the station from 10 to 3. They were some of the guys that I remember from the station that worked there. They're all great guys. It was a real family there, that's for sure.
All right. What are you doing now?
Right now, an operations manager for a 5-station cluster here in Tallahassee, Florida. We have a bunch of different types of radio stations. We have an urban station. We have an adult contemporary station, much like what the Mighty TMA was when I was there. We have country, and we have alternative rock. So we have a little bit of everything here.
One thing I've got to say for Steve King, because I worked with him while I was at 95SX, and we worked together for several months. I would go in the WTMA control room. He was the most organized guy on the air.
You had to tell that, didn't you?
You were. I thought it was amazing. You know, a lot of disc jockeys I work with, you know, a song would be ending, and about 10 seconds before the song would end, they would start looking for the next one. This guy, all the songs were on tape cartridges, and Steve would come in, and he would pull every one for his entire shift.
Show they prep. Would,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So man, he was smooth on the air. He had everything all planned out for the next 4 hours. I thought that was pretty cool.
I was always afraid there was going to be a major accident sometime, you know, and it was like, okay, you wouldn't be prepared. What are you going to do?
The only major accident would be somebody knocking over all those tape cartridges.
which did happen.
Oh. Well, Steve, thank you so much for calling in and letting us know about the last days of WTMA before the station. Pretty much AM, it was a sad day for AM radio. It was before talk radio had become popular, and WTMA's owners at the time really didn't know what to do, and they figured that there was a big FM country station here in the market that was doing quite well, so they brought in a satellite feed and running country music from Los Angeles or Denver or someplace. And that's what happened there. But I remember the classic rock, roll, and soul days. As a matter of fact, if you go to WTMAmemories.com, you can hear what we call an air check, a tape recording of Steve King during those last days of WTMA as a fun contemporary radio station. Steve, thanks so much for calling us today.
Thanks, John. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Now, what are you guys doing nowadays? Gary London, what are you up to now?
Well, I have just retired due to health reasons. I was a consultant with a local firm here doing military contract work, systems engineer, and found out I came down with Parkinson's disease and fibromyalgia.
Oh, mercy.
So I got on the disability. I always wanted to retire at 50.
And you did.
And I'm 52 now. After being one of the youngest guys at TMA back in the heydays with those kind of numbers, it was just, you know, I was just awestruck. But I was pretty cocky back in those days. But now I'm retired at 52. Didn't want to have to go out with a limp, you know. But
you look good.
Nevertheless,
look great.
Hey, I'm feeling great right now. This is
great.
This has been fun. This is kind of like rejuvenating things. But I'm more interested in my brother, who was also my roommate.
Yeah.
And I tell you one incredible thing about John.
Careful now.
He was
careful
a pain
now.
In the butt to live with, y'all. It was like the Odd Couple. It really was.
And which one was he?
He was the neat, meticulous one, and I was the slob. I'm serious.
So we're going to start calling him Oscar.
No,
Oscar. He's the Felix guy.
I asked him to check the bread in the oven, and unless you know John real close, John does not have any feeling in his fingertips.
That's right.
And he reached in and pulled the oven, you know, the rack out of the oven, and flipped the toast over a bread or whatever. I was, remember that?
Yeah, and it blew your mind.
And he
slid out and
put on a mitt.
I remember that.
You know,
no need
I'm
to.
I'm smelling flesh burning here. But, I mean, I said, my Lord.
Yes, we roomed together in 1974 when I first got to town.
Yeah.
He was doing middays. I was doing the all nights. And we stayed out at the Isle of Palms, which is back where I am again.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, you're
still
doing commercials, as you mentioned in our last hour. You're still doing commercials, but for a higher power.
For a different client, and his name is God. I'm the head pastor, or the official term is rector. I'm an Episcopalian. I'm the head pastor of Holy Cross Episcopal Church on Sullivan's Island, and I've been there for 18 years, almost 18,
wow,
17,
God.
17 years and something. It's amazing.
I am so proud of you for that.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you.
I mean, God bless you.
He certainly has, it looks like.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful thing. The church is just fantastic. It really is.
And Boobie Nash, of course, Boobie Nash became a pastor of a church out on James Island.
Yeah.
Right.
And I did missionary work when I went through my divorce for about 3 years for Roll Off Ministries.
Yeah, there's something in the water that got us to the Lord.
I mean, there was a lot of us that kind of took the true conviction route there.
That's right.
For a while.
And, you know, I heard from another guy who couldn't join us today, Steve Harrigan, who did afternoons when CJ and Buzz were here in the early 80s. I said, Steve, you know, I haven't seen you around in a while. What's going on? Well, he's in Atlanta. He's going to Emory. And he's going to become a Methodist minister.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So there must have been something in the water there at WTMA, but it was a good thing, a good thing. Let's talk to Jim right now. He's been holding on patiently. Jim, you've got a question or a memory from WTMA from the 60s.
Yeah, it's about 67, 68. The WTMA International Orange antenna balls that were all over town.
Those were Tiger Radio International Orange balls.
Tiger.
That's right.
That was a significant TMA label on that.
Would you like to hear the promo for that? WTMA has balls. That was the promo, and we ran it again in the 70s.
Yeah, we ran it back again in the 70s.
Okay. I learned something.
Antenna balls. Tennis balls.
Tennis balls in the 70s.
Yeah.
But it was antenna.
Styrofoam for the antenna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And orange was our color with the tiger.
Yep.
TMA Tiger Radio.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for calling. Guys, it's been great to have you guys in here today. Gary London and John Burwell. Thanks to Kirk Varner and C.J. Jones who called.
John Quincy, thank you, John Quincy, for putting
this
on.
Let's give it up for John.
Yeah.
John,
thank you very much.
And he's done an excellent job on the website.
WTMAmemories.com.
Go to it. Take a look. It'll bring back some memories for a lot of
people. Well, you guys can hang around because a guy that I know that you know, a guy behind a lot of the success of WTMA, even today, is coming in to join us here in just a few minutes, so stand by for that. And we're going to talk about how WTMA became a talk radio station back in 1989. After all, we are celebrating our 15th year as a news talk radio station. Yeah. Happened on June 1st, 1989.
1250 TMA with Orleans, and you're the one with the still, and I love it. 7:46, 14 minutes before 8 o'clock. Right now it's fair, it's 71 degrees, and from way up in Ladson, I have Jerry Dameron on the phone. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
All you need to know to win now is WTMA, Jerry. So for 1250, which one of the letters do you think it'll be this time?
T.
T. Good luck.
A.
Jerry.
No.
The letter A came up, Jerry, not the letter T. I can't give you the money, but you have a nice day, and try us later, okay?
Okay.
All right, bye-bye now. We're going to play again in a few minutes, so you keep listening for the Touchtone Telephone, and remember, the only thing you need to know to be a winner is WTMA.
Our TMA time-traveling sonic salute continues in moments on the history of TMA.
WTMA. A Charleston tradition.
The history of TMA.
Once again, let's go back to the summer of 2004, when we spent some quality time with some of WTMA's personalities of the past.
BJ and Suz. Freeway and Scuzz. Leeway and Fuzz. CJ and Buzz.
Mighty TMA. Good morning, CJ and Buzz at 7:10. 10 after 7.
Fog this morning. Possible low-lying flooding this morning.
Be passable if you get through it.
That's right.
42 degrees right now, north side.
Mighty TMA with Donald Fagan. What a beautiful world. It's 4:51 with Steve Harrigan, and out enjoying the beautiful sunshine is Carolyn in the TMA Dodger spotter van.
It sure is. I'm behind a orange MG, South Carolina license, MFV-125, and I've got myself another winner. I'll be back to you in just a moment.
All righty, thank you very much, Carolyn. Just another way that you can qualify to win $1,000 in cash and $500 in groceries from Dodge.
You are listening to the Mighty TMA.
Yes, indeed. This is John Quincy, along with a very special guest here. You know, we could put on the best programming in the world at this radio station, but if not for guys like our next guest, there's no way you would be able to hear us. I'm joined today by a guy who's been very, very important to WTMA in the last few years, Bruce Roberts. Bruce Roberts, welcome into the WTMA studio as we talk about
the
radio station in the 70s and 80s. Now, Bruce, you grew up in Charleston listening to WTMA, right, like everybody else?
It was awesome.
And who were some of the people that you remember listening to?
Well, just these guys right here.
Gary London and John Burwell.
Everybody you've been talking about.
And like somebody said, you'd walk into a store and you'd hear a voice, and it's like today when you walk in and you hear a television news person. It was the same way then. You'd hear one of these radio guys, and you're like, wow, I know that voice.
The guys were stars, weren't they?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Now, we want to try to tie this up as far as bringing WTMA into its current format. As we mentioned before, if you listen to WTMA in the first part of 1989, they were playing a satellite-fed program. A guy by the name of Dan Moon happened to be running the radio station. He would do the morning show live. The rest of the time, the programming came from elsewhere. And you could tell by listening to the radio station that very few people cared about WTMA, what was once a rich top 40 radio station that everybody in town listened to had just kind of was sounded neglected.
Yeah, well, the company that owned them, they owned TMA and 95SX.
Former WTMA FM. Yeah.
And so really they only cared about the FM, 95SX. So Dan was the only person taking care of TMA at the time. And so it was in disrepair. It was just totally neglected. It was a sad thing. But Dan was holding it together. I mean, he had Band-Aids on everything and just had it all together. And he was real proud of what he was doing. And he was doing a good job, but nobody was really paying attention to him. So the guy who owned it, that was Faircom.
Faircom, Joel Fairman.
Yeah. He sold it to Bill Dudley and Hugh Jett. Together.
A couple of local guys who knew what WTMA was all about.
Well, yeah.
Or had been about.
And TMA was the reason Bill came here in the 70s.
Bill Dudley was the former engineer at the radio station. You can see his picture up at WTMAmemories.com. Yeah.
Bill was real passionate about TMA and really knew what its potential was, as well as Hugh. And they had a little experience with talk format before with the WKCN format,
which was 910 on the dial.
910, yeah. So the plan, they hired me on May 15th. Of 89, and I had 15 days to prepare the station for talk.
Now, you were the chief engineer. I don't think we've explained that. He's the guy that solders all the wires together and makes it possible for you to hear our voices.
Not the Indian hat.
But, no.
not that kind of chief.
You don't drive a train.
No, not that kind of chief. But anyway, I had 15 days to get it ready for talk, and Dan, bless his heart, was like, I don't know about this talk thing, you know. I don't think it's
Wait a minute. Dan Moon, a legend in talk radio in Charleston, right. Was not convinced that that talk radio would work.
And he and I talked about this last week. He was like, you know, I didn't believe it was going to work. He said, I was committed to country, and I liked what I was doing, but the thought of changing to talk, he says, no, you couldn't convince me then that talk format would make it.
But it happened, and something interesting happened with WKCN, that was the call letters?
Yeah.
WKCN 910. They had some programs. They ran a guy by the name of Rush Limbaugh and some other pretty decent shows.
Yeah.
But they were only like 500 watts. They had Bruce Williams, yeah.
Yeah. So they had a deal already worked out that on June 1st, I think it was, we took all the formats basically from that station.
So WTMA stole the programming away from WKCN.
Yeah. They sure did.
The big 5,000-watt radio station picking on the little 500-watt radio station.
Yeah, they cleaned them up. I think they went big band or something after that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now they're pretty much close to that today as WTMZ.
Yeah. Right.
All else fails.
But it rocked along, you know, for a few months, and it was slowly, you know, increasing in ratings and was doing quite well. But really, what happened in September?
September 21st, 1989.
Was what put it on.
Hurricane Hugo. And what was that like?
That was interesting.
We've got a minute.
We were told to kind of evacuate, but come back the next day, and I can give you all the details about what happened the next day.
Oh, yeah. WTMA was on the air.
Oh, yeah.
And people were listening. It was one of the few radio stations on the air, and Dan Moon was on, and he talked about WTMA, talked to people out there,
yeah,
and the rest
was
history.
Beautiful thing.
It put WTMA on the map, and still today, WTMA is the news talk radio station in Charleston, still having that lead after 15 years. Guys, thanks so much for coming in. Bruce,
thank you
so much for sharing your story from your perspective on the last days of WTMA as a music station and getting into the talk radio format, how that started. Dan Moon said it never could be done. But
it was done.
It was done. Thanks to folks like Dan Moon and the other folks here at WTMA. Thanks a lot, Richard Todd. Back on Monday. Keep it right here. Bortz after the news at 10 o'clock on the mighty TMA.
WTMA, Charleston.
We hope you've enjoyed this past hour of the history of TMA. This is John Quincy with a personal invitation for you to check out the website that I put together that's dedicated to WTMA's history. with a special emphasis on the station's music radio days. The address is WTMAmemories.com. There are dozens of rare WTMA recordings that you can stream or download, along with photos of past personnel and promotions. And it's all totally free. That's WTMAmemories.com. Go ahead, make it one of your favorites. And I hope that you'll keep 1250 WTMA one of your radio favorites. After all, we are the Charleston radio station that has continued to make history, as well as talk about it, since 1939. 1250 WTMA.